Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
And happy Friday morning to you, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. I'm Tommy Kester, along with Paul Savage, in for Jacob Albracht as we get you ready for a Football Friday. Looking forward to getting into everything today, including the Kansas Jayhawks, the Kansas State Wildcats, the Kansas City Chiefs, all in action. Also, some other top 25 matchups in college football, some big-time NFL matchups. And, oh, by the way, the Royals are still trying to clinch a playoff spot as they begin a big series at home this weekend against the San Francisco Giants. We will get into all of that, plus our Friday football picks here on Sports Daily in hour number two. Paul, myself, Jacob Albracht will be joining us, Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, both from 12 News, will also be joining the program to give their picks for the weekend as well. So it's a jam-packed show. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240 for the entire two-hour-long program. Hope you can join us there. You can also leave your video comments on our video stream by watching us on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, also on 12 News Connected. Paul Savage, good morning to you. Happy Friday, my friend.
Well, same to you. I know you got a lot of great plans for the weekend. So do I. And it's just here. We're ready. But I'm ready for a good show today. Boy, we got some really great topics today. I'm really excited about today's show.
Well, Fridays are always fun because, of course, you know, we are getting ready for the big football weekend,
right.
Especially this time of year. By the way, we'll also talk to TJ Cleland in hour two about high school football. Of course, that continues as well. So we'll talk to him from Ketchup, Kansas after our Friday football picks. So a jam-packed show here this morning. And with our Friday football picks, Paul, this is kind of where I want to start very briefly.
All right.
There's only two of us out of the five that are picking for the Friday football picks that currently through 3 weeks have records over 500. Mm-hmm. And those two people are you and me.
Hey, congratulations.
How do you feel about that?
Tommy, congratulations, man. I knew you could do it. I've had confidence in you all along that you'll be in the running for a championship in Friday football picks. I don't think you'll win it, but I think you'll be in the running.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a few game lead over me. In fact, I think a 3 game lead. You have 12 wins, a 3 game lead over me in our Friday football picks through the first couple of weeks. You've done pretty well so far. Has anybody ever told you that you are the Shohei Ohtani of picking football games?
Well, I don't think anybody's ever used those words, but I get your point. And by the way, if only I was as good as Ohtani at anything in the world. I don't even care if it'd be tiddlywinks. I don't care whatever it is. If only I could be as good as him as he is at baseball.
Well, I mean, he had one of the best games, maybe the best game in Major League Baseball history yesterday. 10 RBIs. What did he have? 3 home runs in the game.
Multiple stolen bases. 2 stolen bases.
I mean, yeah, he's the best baseball player on the planet, and he's not even pitching. Hasn't even pitched all season long. I'm not sure that we fully appreciate just in general how transformative of a player he is. I think everybody knows that he's the best player in baseball, but just watching what he has done throughout his time in the big leagues, it's almost kind of like, what more can he do? And then he follows it up yesterday with one of the best all-time offensive performances.
Oh my gosh, it was just unbelievable. It was either 10 or 11 RBIs. I'm not real sure. I think it's 10, but anyway,
I think it was 10.
Yeah. But a 20 run outburst by the Dodgers over the Marlins. I mean, come on, the Marlins, they're not that good, but still 20 runs and 10 RBI is just unbelievable. And here's the other thing, Tommy. And I don't know if you have formed an opinion on this. I really like the guy. Now, I can't understand a word he's saying, obviously, but there's something about him I like. And you know what I think it goes back to? And I know this sounds crazy, and nobody would ever probably say anything like this as to why I would like a particular player when I don't, speak his language and he doesn't speak ours, but that's okay. And that is, it seems like, at least with the grace that he handled, remember when he was embezzled out of several million dollars by his, then very, very dear friend, interpreter, and that was an ugly deal. that was a betrayal that, you know, we don't see very often amongst friends. I don't believe that I have any friends that would betray me to that level, and I know you don't. But, you know, the way he handled that was with grace. Now, he may have been saying things in a language that I didn't understand, and he may have been really on top of this guy, but he handled it with grace from what I could tell. That told me a lot about him. That made me want to root for him. That made me say, you know, this is a special guy, not only athletically, but you know, he kept the better angels on his side when, quite frankly, you could have lost a couple of angels in the way you could have approached that with losing several million dollars to embezzlement by somebody you care for. So
By losing angels, Paul, do you mean losing members of the Angels baseball team that he played for? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the better angels of heaven. Oh, you know, okay. You know, the better of people. How about the better thing that is in people? That's what I meant. The better angels of you and me as we walk through daily life. That's what I'm talking about. But so I'm kind of a fanboy. I like
guy. I think in today's world, and I think maybe this is part of what you're saying, is in today's world, it's really, really difficult to get people to forget about some kind of controversy that happens, right? Like if you are the center of controversy or the center of a really dramatic, like off the field issue or something like that, it's really difficult to get people to move on from something that's happened in that regard. And really, even some of the best players in the world, and I can only think of a handful of people that have really successfully, I think, done that. Even some of the best players in the world have been embroiled in some kind of controversy.
Yes, they have.
And they have a hard time moving past that. And the best way to do that is to go out and absolutely dominate in your field and dominate in the game that you're playing. And I don't feel like, I mean, nobody is talking about that anymore. Like nobody's talking about that situation with his interpreter anymore, because he has quieted everybody around the country, around the world, even with the way that he's played baseball. It's impressive. I mean, I can think of like Kobe Bryant is somebody that had some personal controversies and was able to move past that. And people kind of forgot about that happening with him because he was so dominant in what he did. So it's rare when that sort of thing happens, and Shohei's been able to do that.
That's really fun. You know, one of the side notes that I get a kick out of, because, you know, I really have an appreciation for sports memorabilia, as you know, and I got a kick out of this. Did you know that over the last week or two that Baseball Hall of Fame has had a traveling representative follow him to game to game to game to game and ready to go? And last night, after he got his 50-50, that representative went down to the locker room, took him into the locker room, and took every stitch of clothes he had on him. Took it all, because they were going to take all that to the Baseball Hall of Fame: the uniform, the helmet, the belt, the glove, the shoes, the sock. All of it was taken off, and he had to put on a whole new outfit. And I kind of got a kick out of that, because here you are in the middle of a game. Now, granted, it's not much of a game. There's no threat of, you know, the Marlins winning this game. But I got a kick out of that. You know, that history of 50-50. And just when I want to say, and I just about said on the air, I'm not going to do it, this is a record that won't be broke. You know something? I guess I'm probably wrong. This is a record that can be broke, right? This is a record that can be broke, and it might be broke. Will anybody ever get to 60-60? I, you know something? The realist in me says, no, 60-60, are you kidding me? Until somebody gets to 60-60. So I don't know. Do you think anybody will ever get to 60-60?
I think it could be done. I think it's going to be really difficult to be accomplished. I mean, obviously, Shohei's the very first player to ever get to 50-50. If you had asked me a year ago at this time, I would have said, and I'm a Braves fan, I would have said Ronald Acuna would be a guy that could maybe go 50-50. He went 40-40.
Yeah, okay.
He went 40-40 a year ago.
Well,
and,
that's right. You can make a case.
Was the MVP of the league.
I see that, yeah.
But he is injured, and he's missed the remainder of the season. It's another knee injury for him that's going to be hard to bounce back from. Honestly, and this may be a homer type take, if there's going to be anybody other than Shohei to get to 50-50 in the next decade, it's probably Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, he's posted back-to-back 30-30 seasons.
I don't know.
He's only been in the big leagues for 3 years. if anybody's going to be, I mean, the another guy other than Shohei to potentially get to that point, I think it would probably be Witt.
Well, but 30-30 to 50-50, that's kind of a jump, Tommy. That's kind of a big...
Well, I'm not talking about him doing it next season. I think, if you're looking at down the road, I mean, keep in mind, the guy is still extremely young, and he's been able to do 30-30 early in his career two different times in back-to-back years. If people believe that he can get even better than what he is right now, I mean, man, yeah, he could certainly challenge for that.
Well, no, you do have a point. My contention is that right now, my contention would be that we've never heard of the next guy that gets 50-50. That's kind of like it. I mean, and as a matter of fact, I'm not.
So nobody else in the big leagues right now, you think, has a chance to sniff that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, even the jump from 40-40, how hard is 40-40? It's a little tough. And to make that jump to 50-50, for all I know, the next guy to get to 50-50 isn't even born yet. I mean, seriously, that could be the case. We don't know. And then, of course, 60-60, if ever I said there was a record that will never be met, that might be at 60-60. But on the other hand, if I was to say to you, Tommy, do you think anybody will ever break Cy Young's all-time wins total? 511 wins.
Well, that's not going to go anywhere. That was a different era of baseball.
Yeah, and by the way, we did a radio show probably 10 years ago where we were talking about everybody had to come up with the one record that they thought would never be broke, and some thought, the 100 points of Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, there are all kinds, and we had callers call in. All kinds of people came up with really unique records, and a lot of them, I think they're probably right, they may not ever be broke. But my choice for records that will never be broke was obviously Cy Young, 511 wins, and of course, baseball's changed. I mean, baseball's changed to the fact that, it used to be 300 wins automatically got you into the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? Now it's almost 200. Now, if you have a career 200 wins, you're one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. So, this might be on that verge of when you're thinking, how many home runs, how many stolen bases in one season can one guy get? Maybe we're at that level. Maybe this is a record that just based upon the way baseball is played today, it can't be broken. I'm not saying that it will or won't. I'm just saying this is a tough one. Only one guy. They've been playing baseball for, 160 years, 70 years, whatever it is. They've been playing baseball a long time. Nobody's done this up to this point. There have been some really good baseball players, but nobody's done it. So I don't know.
There have been five guys that have done 40-40.
That's all.
I guess now six, counting Shohei. Maybe Shohei was in already the 40-40 club. But regardless, only a handful of players been in 40-40. Shohei's the only one in 50-50. I think it's unlikely, but I do think if there is another current Major League Baseball player that could ever get to that point, my vote would be Bobby Witt Jr. just because of what he's done in the first few years of his career. But regardless, it doesn't take anything away from Shohei and his accomplishments. No. I mean, it's fantastic. And the way in which he did it, going 6-for-6 last night, blasting all those home runs, 10 RBIs. I mean, it would have been one thing if he had went, 1-for-5 in the game and hit a solo shot in a loss and maybe swiped a base. That's kind of an uneventful way to get to that club. But he made it. He got to that club in style, I guess, is my point.
Style. I like the way you phrased that. I like that. That's exactly right. He did it with style and aplomb, and I think that's wonderful. But, you look at Ohtani. I mean, who knows where he could be? I mean, where he is right now, boy, the expectations from him from now on. I mean, will his season be looked upon as a failure if he gets to, say, 35-35 next year or 40-40 next year or 43-43? I mean,
I think it all depends on what kind of pitcher he comes back as, because I mean, he'll be pitching again and he's a pretty dominant pitcher as well. I mean, and it's not taking anything away from him whatsoever. He's the best all around baseball player we probably have ever seen in the game, able to do everything. And so it's just impressive. By the way, the record that I'm sure this is a popular pick, but the record that I think that will never be broken is Cal Ripken consecutive games. Oh. There's no way that anybody will play that number of consecutive games ever again in a way that like training staffs are and longevity in baseball and, you know, players. Like, I know that Bobby Witt Jr. has basically played every game this season for the Royals. Take that and multiply it by what, 17 or 18. That's going to be pretty impossible for anybody to come close to.
Yep, that's right. That was a good one. That was, you know, that might be my second choice because you're right. And partly it's that record, just like my record, your record. Baseball managers handle their players differently than they did with Cal Ripken, than they did with Cy Young, obviously. It's a different game. The opportunity to do what Cal Ripken has done, it'll never happen again because that's not really the nature of baseball anymore, is it?
It's really not. And, you know, so that makes these records like what Shohei did last night that much more impressive because, you know, it sets the entire game up at a higher level for sure. So congratulations to him. Before we go to break, Paul, while we're on the topic of baseball, sure, we're going to have a lot of football talk between now and the end of the show. So very quickly, the Royals, we talked about Bobby Witt a few minutes ago. They kick off a 3-game set this weekend at home, taking on the Giants. You know, it's the final regular season home games. Obviously, fans are hoping for some home playoff games for sure, but the final 3 games at home in the regular season for the Royals at Kauffman Stadium this weekend, starting tonight, the Royals are sliding. They've had a rough week. They still are looking to clinch a playoff spot. The magic number remains at 8. It's been at 8 basically all week long. The Giants are not a dominant team like we know of Giants teams in the past, but man, this weekend, especially at home, is crucial for Kansas City.
Well, it is. And of course, you know, there's a lot of truth. Now, some people say it really doesn't matter how you go into the playoffs. And you know, I've always felt like if you go into the playoffs, you got to go in playing strong, be it playing good baseball. I know that the same thing applied in professional football when we'd go into the playoffs, which we would have playoffs, not necessarily at the high school level. But I guess the playoffs are sort of that way nowadays. But I know one thing. When we head into postseason, we want to head in playing well, and so do the Royals. So it worries me a little that you're not playing well. But there's still some time to right the ship, to get things worked out right and heading the right direction. But I would rather see, obviously, the Royals playing pretty good baseball heading into the playoffs. But, you know, and that's assuming that they can get to the playoffs because, you know, if they stay on a streak like they're on right now, you know, I don't know. Do they make it? They probably do. But, you know, I want to see them playing well. But then that next game in the playoffs gets a little tougher, doesn't it?
Well, sure. And I brought up the point the other day on the show that everybody is so focused on will they or won't they make the playoffs that there hasn't been a lot of conversation about what will happen
in the event
that they do.
Good point.
I wonder, to your point, what that team will look like. They've got to get it turned around. The team has been streaky all season long.
Well, they
Unfortunately, they're on the cold side of a streak this moment, but it's a great opportunity to turn this around. I think my expectation is you've got to take at least 2 or 3 from the Giants this weekend. I think they're a better team than the Giants to bottom. I think they should be able to sweep the Giants this weekend. That's got to be the goal. I'm not sure that's the expectation, right, but you have to get that magic number down even further before you go on the road to Washington and then Atlanta. Right. Obviously, we'll have coverage of all of those games this weekend right here on KFH. Baseball coverage on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. That wraps up our talk on baseball here on the show. Coming up in basically the rest of today, it's all about football. We'll start with the Chiefs after the break as they play in primetime on Sunday against the Falcons. That and a ton more, including our Friday football picks at the top of hour number 2. It's all coming up for you on Sports Daily here on KFH. Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily on KFH. This portion of the program brought to you by Prairie Fire Coffee. Always enjoy getting fueled up and caffeinated by our friends over at Prairie Fire Coffee. Delicious cup of coffee. Always a great way to start the morning. Paul, I'm doing the show from my home studio today. So speaking of coffee, I went out during the break to grab myself a cup of my own coffee, which is not nearly as good as Prairie Fire, by the way. Right. But was getting a cup of coffee. Are you a Halloween person? Do you like the fall time and Halloween and all of that?
Well, when I was a kid, I liked the free candy. But I mean, no, not necessarily. It's certainly not my favorite holiday by any stretch. It was a chance to go out and get free candy when I was younger. Now it's a chance just to kind of turn my lights off and hope nobody comes by. No, just buy a bag of
candy. Buy a bag of candy for yourself and not answer the door.
I don't mean that. I'm just joking. I like all the little tykes, and I've got a bunch of little tykes, you know, on my block, and I will have the candy. I'll have candy there. I'll have the light on for the neighbor kids, and if we get some neighbor kids, good. If not, well, that's just. But no, I've kind of outgrown Halloween. Yeah. I've outgrown it.
So my wife is a diehard Halloween fan. She loves it. And so I stepped out of my home studio during the break to go grab a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And today's the day that she is decorating the house for Halloween and for fall.
You lucky
and
guy.
So there are pumpkins all, it's like a pumpkin factory threw up in my living room. And I didn't realize it was happening today. Maybe she told me, I kind of forgot, I guess. But it's going to be 97 degrees outside today.
It is.
And so I have a hard time wrapping my head around decorating for fall and Halloween.
Yeah, and as you start talking about pumpkins, I love pumpkin pie. I'm not going to lie to you. I love pumpkin pie. I know a lot of people don't, but I do. So if she's decorating with pumpkins, now are they real pumpkins or are they fake pumpkins?
No, they're like decorative pumpkins all around the house.
Okay. We're not eating any
of them. Yeah, she lit a candle that I think is pumpkin spice or something. And so I thought I smelled something in my studio this morning. Yeah. And it, sure enough, it's the pumpkin spice candle.
At least you didn't smell yourself. That's the best thing. I said, it's a pumpkin. I got you.
That's true. Hey, Jad, what are the odds that we'll end up having a pumpkin spice candle lit in the KFH studio?
Slim to none.
I think it's this right here. It is that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure we're allowed to have like open fires in this building. I don't think we are.
Oh, that's
a
good point. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. That would be probably a liability.
Well, the studio is a funny thing because I know one time I had a little clone on and I walked into the studio. I was doing a show with Bob Lutz and he reamed me a new one. He reamed me a new one. What are you doing wearing that stuff? Don't you know that anybody? What are you doing? How come you're wearing that stuff? And he went on for like 5 minutes, you know, because I had just a little touch of a little cologne on and I got reamed a new one. So I don't wear cologne. I don't wear anything that smells in a studio. And I'm assuming that Jad's not going to let anything that stinks come into this studio.
What was he jealous that you smelled better than him? Is that what was going on?
I don't know. All I know is I got reamed. Now, this was a while back, but I got reamed a new one. But you know something? To Bob's credit, I've got to say this. It makes sense. Who am I to impose my smells on somebody in a small room like this that's captive with me? Who am I to do that? So, you know something? He got on me, and I took it like a man, and I says, you know, okay, you're right. I'm not doing it. And from that day on, I won't wear any kind of cologne into a radio station.
Tommy, I remember that day back in those days with Paul and
really?
Bob.
Yeah.
And Bob was right. Whatever that stuff, that high karate stuff reeked. I mean, it was terrible.
It was high class, whatever it was. And I smelled darn good.
You know what, Paul? As long as the ladies liked it, that's the only thing that matters.
That's the, you know something? You got a point right there. That is well said, my friend.
Let's get into some football talk, get away from this cologne and pumpkin spice talk that we have started this segment off with. The Chiefs in action on Sunday night. It's primetime Sunday night football on the road in Atlanta, taking on a Falcons team that has a new quarterback in Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
The Falcons, they were able last week to pull out a win, basically snatching victory from the jaws of defeat against the Philadelphia Eagles on the final drive of the game. Kirk Cousins led them down to victory. And Paul, I talked about this yesterday with PJ Glasser, our betting insider, that I was kind of concerned about Kirk Cousins through the first seven quarters or so of the season. Like, is he fully back? Is he the guy that the Falcons want him to be? Will he be effective? I was concerned about that. And then in that fourth quarter, you know, he led the Falcons to victory. Are you bought in on Kirk Cousins with the Falcons? How much of a threat do you think he'll pose to Kansas City on Sunday night?
I'm more bought in with their offensive line. I think they've got a really good offensive line. They've got a physical offensive line, so I'm kind of bought in with that too. I kind of like the Falcons. Do I like them for 3 points? Maybe. I haven't, you know, this is one of the picks. We got five picks that we're going to make in about 30 minutes from now. Five picks. I'm not sure how I'm going with the Chiefs and the Falcons yet this weekend. Chiefs are getting three, and I don't know how I go. This team, at least from what I can see, and I know it's early. But this is a team that I could see could be pretty good, can be a very good football team. If Cousins stays healthy and everything stays on track, this could be a good football team. Boy, I don't know how I'm going. You got any inkling on how you're gonna bet this yet? Have you made a decision on this game?
Yeah, I think it's probably the toughest pick, out of all the games that we're going to be picking as we know, the Chiefs have not looked outstanding through the first 2 weeks, although they're 2-0.
That's in my consideration. That's correct.
You know, and they didn't cover the spread last week against the Bengals. The Bengals were able to cover that. So I don't know. I mean, on the road in Atlanta in primetime, you would think this would be the week that the Chiefs would show up and flex on national TV. But at the same time, they're hobbled, Paul. I mean, we know Hollywood Brown done for basically the season. Isaiah Pacheco potentially done for the entire season. You know, they did bring Kareem Hunt to the practice squad this week, but you know, it's not like he's going to be playing this weekend. So they're going to be riding with the undrafted rookie Carson Steele and the veteran Samaje Perine in the backfield. Mm-hmm. That gives me a slight bit of concern. And then when you compare and contrast that to what the Falcons have as offensive weapons and skill players, they've got a bunch of them. Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Like, they've got some big time players. Obviously, from a quarterback perspective, you know, Mahomes is head and shoulders above Kirk Cousins, so I don't have a concern there. But the Falcons do have quite a bit of talent.
Well, I think you're right, too. And also, do you get any consideration for going on the road for the first time? I know you've had preseason and all that, but you go on the road for the first time. That's always a consideration. I don't know if it's that much of a consideration, but I've got some real questions. For the same reasons you just brought up, injury-wise, where is this team? But yet, on the other hand, I think to myself, you still got a guy like Mahomes. You still got a guy like Kelce. You still got some weapons. So you think to yourself, well, yeah, 3 points sounds about right at home. You know, you're a home dog, and that's always attractive in betting, and it's always attractive, a home dog. So I don't know. I still got 30 minutes to make my decision on how to go, but I don't know. It sounds like you're not even quite sure how you want to approach this game, because I know how I'm doing the other games pretty much.
I'm going to hold my cards close to the chest, and you know, until we get to our pick segment at the top of next hour, I will say that, and this doesn't have anything to do with this particular Sunday night game, but it was fascinating yesterday, and I know you weren't on the show, so I'll share this with you and anybody else that didn't get a chance to listen to PJ Glasser on the show. I didn't realize this, that any team this season through the first 2 weeks in the NFL that has been more than a 6-point underdog has covered that spread, every single one of them. There has not been a team that has been favored, or I'm sorry, that is giving getting more than 6 points as a 6-point dog that hasn't covered that spread. All of them have kept those games relatively close. And so in week three, if that trend continues, then even some of the bigger underdogs on the week, you know, the trend is for them to be able to cover that spread.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the NFL. Everybody pays their players, don't they? Last I checked, everybody's getting, you know, pretty good money. So they've all are going to have a certain amount of good football players. So I can kind of see that. I understand that. But it still doesn't help me on trying to make the decision on this particular Chiefs Falcons game. You know, I'm you know, 3 points at home. That's, you know, and you're playing pretty good football. You're a physical football team. You know, I'm kind of, sounds like I'm talking myself into the Falcons. Maybe I'm leaning that direction. You know, I think I've just decided I've moved from unsure to leaning. I think I'm leaning. I'm leaning now. I'm leaning to the Falcons. Haven't selected the Falcons, but I'm leaning.
You know, so going back to week one, the Chiefs, they covered the number, but it was basically just due to that last play out of bounds by Isaiah Likely with the Ravens. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. They didn't cover the spread against the Falcons. So really, like, there hasn't been anything convincing so far this season that would indicate that the Chiefs are in a position to cover a spread, you know, even at a 3-point, you know, number. And that's the interesting thing. I'm not going to like live bet this game. If I do, I'm not going to live bet it. I'm not going to bet it until it gets very, very close to kickoff, because I want to see if that line moves around. Three is a really difficult number because you can't win by a field goal and win money. You've got to win by more than 3 points, and that's a difficult ask.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if that line drops to 2.5, if it drops to 2, at that point, you know, yeah, I might consider it. I have concerns, number one, about the way that that offense is going to look. Patrick Mahomes, number two, while he's an incredible quarterback, let's be honest, he's not played particularly well through the first 2 weeks. In fact, last week was not a good outing for him against the Bengals. It was one of the lowest passing yard games that he's had in his career. So he's got to figure that part of it out too. There were some uncharacteristic passes made by Patrick Mahomes, so that concerns me as well. I just don't think that we've seen this offense for Kansas City really kick things into gear through the first 2 weeks.
Well, that might be the case. And I think that, and I think to myself, you know, if there was a time that you kick it in, is this the time? I'm not sure. I just got through talking a few minutes ago about how physical this football team is, and I think it's one of the more physical football teams that I've been able to, you know, gather so far. I mean, we're so early in the season. I haven't even got a good look at a number of teams, so I don't know what some of them have. But this is a good physical football team from what I've seen so far. And this isn't the time to test that theory. This isn't the time to test, well, you know, is this the time for that output of offensive points that you're talking about? See, I'm not sure that this is the time. This is may not be the game that happens. And this could be a game, by the way, and I don't know if this would affect your opinion, because I told you how I like this offensive line. What if this is an offense that is able to control the football? And how do you beat Patrick Mahomes? Well, one of the key ways of beating a Patrick Mahomes type quarterback is keep him off the field. How do you do that? You run the football, you get first downs, you move up and down the field, you control the football, and you keep him off the field. That's really a true and tried way of beating good football teams with a really good quarterback. And the Chiefs can be, you know, beat and, you know, numbers covered with that philosophy, if you can do it. Now you got to do it, obviously. But I don't know. I think the Falcons, from what I've seen, may be that team that could do that. I don't know. We'll just see. It's going to be a fun game to watch, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, tight end defense through the first 2 weeks for Kansas City, especially last week, has not been good whatsoever. And the Falcons have a stud in Kyle Pitts, and so they've got to try to find a way to limit that and not turn him into Rob Gronkowski out there catching passes. So that's going to be a challenge defensively for Kansas City as well. It's the primetime game on Sunday Night Football. You'll be able to hear it on both KNSS and KFH, the Chiefs radio network coverage with Mitch Holthus on KNSS, and then the Westwood One National NFL on KFH coverage will happen on Sunday night right here on KFH. So you'll be able to hear it, the national call also right here Sunday night. So it should be pretty fun, and we'll be looking forward to that. We'll also pick that game coming up here in hour number two in our Friday football picks. Before we go to break, Paul, we talked Shohei Ohtani in the first break. Ken has left a voice message for us. That by listening to us on the Odyssey app, clicking the microphone button, you can leave a voice message. We'll be able to play it right back. And Ken has a message about Shohei Ohtani. Jad, you can go ahead and play that.
Good morning, gentlemen. Ohtani's accomplishment is fantastic, but also keep in mind that the base stealing number is aided by the recent rule changes. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
You know, that's a really good point, Ken. The rule changes with stolen bases and that sort of thing, it has made it, I guess, you know, slightly easier for players to swipe bases, and more difficult for catchers to throw them out, more difficult for pitchers to be able to get the ball to the catcher in a quick manner to be able to throw them out. So, you know, it doesn't, I don't think that it, you know, necessarily diminishes his accomplishments, like Ken says, but that is something to keep in mind.
It is, but I mean, I'm not going to consider it very long. And by the way, did Ken not sound like the Alabama coach,
Luke Saban?
Coach Saban, did he not sound? Hey, can we play that again, Jad, real quick? Listen to this.
Good morning, gentlemen. Ohtani's accomplishment is fantastic, but also keep in mind that the base stealing number is aided by the recent rule changes. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Coach Saban.
I did.
Did you catch that?
Honestly, I didn't catch it the first time, but when you said that and listened to it back, 100%.
100%.
Are you sure? You sure you're not moonlighting as Nick Saban out there?
Is that right? Or maybe that was Coach Saban calling this show. He could be a listener.
I highly doubt that, Paul. Okay. But you never know. I guess anything is possible. Right. But we appreciate Ken reaching
Thanks,
out again.
Ken,
you can leave your
it.
Messages for the show. We'll play them back here. All you have to do is pull up the Odyssey app, listen to KFH Radio. There's a little microphone icon you click on, and it's like leaving us a voicemail. You can leave a message. We can play it back on the show. And, of course, you can call the IHOP hotline at any time if you want to talk to us live at 869-1240. By the way, IHOP is excited to have its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal. That's going on right now through the end of the month, so we really appreciate IHOP's support of the program. Of course, call that IHOP hotline between now and 11 o'clock, the end of the show, to connect with us at 869-1240. We'll take a timeout on the other side. A quick look at K-State and KU, both in action this weekend. And then hour two gets going very soon from now. Our Friday football picks. We'll also talk high school football in the second hour with TJ Cleland. A lot more coming up for you. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage, Jad Chambers producing the show at Sports Daily, and we'll be right back.
.975 and 1240 KF.
K-State football is available for free all season long right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH Saturday night, tomorrow night at 7:30 for Wildcat football, K-State at BYU, or simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. Paul, that game happening tomorrow night as the Wildcats travel to Provo to take on BYU. The Jayhawks head the opposite direction and go to Morgantown to take on West Virginia in early kickoff. We're going to pick both of those games coming up as we kick off hour number two. But very quickly, I want to ask you, I'm always curious about this, and you've spent a lot of time on the sidelines around football teams in your career. When you're going into an environment that you've never been in before, it's been decades since you've been there. It's a late night game. I mean, back home, the K-State game is going to kick off at like 9:30 p.m. It'll be Big 12 after dark as they take on BYU. Provo with the high altitude, all of that. Does that ever enter the minds of coaches or players? Or is it more about all we can do is handle our business and execute our game plan? Or do you think it all about we're going to BYU? We've never been there before. It's a raucous environment, late night game with really high altitudes.
No, as a matter of fact, there'll be things that the team does, the coaching staff does to, you know, try to simulate what the conditions will be, what the time will be, and that kind of thing. Not really. I mean, I guess one could make a case that they're in extreme situations, it could, but the excitement of playing a football game, and these guys all understand, you know, there's only X amount of games. Football's not like baseball. There's not 160-plus games in baseball. It's a finite amount of football games that you get to play, and that's why I personally think it doesn't really make a difference. It's a good point, though. Going into an elevated situation like that, we both know that the city of Denver is always – the first ones to, you know, note on their basketball court, on their baseball diamond, and on the football field, just exactly what the altitude is to remind the other team, you know, you're in our territory now. You're mile high. Things, you know, you breathe a little differently. And they're the first. But no, on this particular case, no, I don't think that will make a difference. But, you know, it's kind of fun, I think, because maybe, you know, with the time that this game starts, the nation will get a chance to see Kansas State maybe in a way they can't if it's a 1 o'clock game. So maybe
– like with one eye open and one eye closed.
Oh,
so you
God,
can,
that's
you
not what sleep. I meant. But
it'd be a late night. I'm a little upset that I'm going to have to stay up late to watch this game. But it'll be fun. It should be a fun game, though, because BYU is 3-0. The Wildcats flexed last Friday night, especially offensively, and Avery Johnson went to town. Dylan Edwards went to town. DJ Giddens had a good game. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch them head to BYU and have that matchup. On the other flip side, very quickly before we go to break and get into our Friday football picks, it's been the opposite kind of situation for Kansas so far through three games. They lose at home against UNLV a week ago, where they were clearly and obviously the better team the entire game. Kind of the same way in the game against Illinois on the road in Champaign last weekend. The Jayhawks are 1-2. They've got some issues at quarterback number one, and they've got some issues, I think, with their offensive coordinator. Where do you stand right now with the Jayhawks through three games?
Well, the real Jayhawks, please stand up, because I don't know. Right now, you've got to show me, because I think it was Wednesday we talked about the Jayhawks, and you know, and granted, even their defense is playing a little better. But I still go back. It was so much in my mind. That winning drive that UNLV had was almost 10 minutes long. 10 minutes long. It was 18 plays. It was 75 yards. It was the kind of drive that you never want to see happen to your football team. So would you please tell me who's the real defense? Because really good defenses don't do that. So I still
have I'm gonna jump in and disagree with you, because the defense had been put in bad situations basically the entire game, especially in the second half. The offense couldn't move the ball at all, and that defense was ragged and tired, and they were constantly being forced back out on the field in bad situations because the offense couldn't get any first downs.
I got you, Tommy. But you know what the job of a defense is? To stop the other team. So you can tell me how tired they were and all that other stuff. What's their job? It's not to go onto the field for 10 minutes and have an 18-play drive that wins the game. That's not what it's about. I'm sympathetic with you to a certain extent, but I'm not so quite sure that I understand it.
Well, hey, look, I think if I were to pinpoint the blame, man, I think there are a couple of different places that I point the blame, including Jalen Daniels, including Jeff Grimes, the offensive coordinator, even Lance Leipold to an extent. I don't put the blame on the KU defense for losing that game against UNLV. They were dog tired by the time that game was all wrapped up. It was unfortunate. They've got to get that figured out. They're 1-2. They've got to turn it around. Big 12 play. It's going tomorrow. They've got to get it turned around.
You got that right. Tomorrow
in Morgantown, taking on West Virginia. We will pick that game. We will pick the K-State game, the Chiefs game, other big college and NFL games in our Friday football picks coming up on the other side of this break. We'll be joined by Jacob Albrecht. We'll be joined by TJ Cleland. We'll be joined by Brandon Zinner. We'll give you a recap of where things stand through 3 weeks with all of us on our Friday football picks. And we will pick them coming up next right here on Sports Daily. I'm Tommy Caster along with Paul Savage. Jad Chambers producing the show, and we'll be right back with our number two.